Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Here we are on a Saturday in September. We've had some showers, but most of that rain is north. Still a chance of thunderstorms. By tonight, partly cloudy, comfortable, a low near 66, as you heard a moment ago, and then sunny and hot for September, 86 tomorrow, and this warm weather continues right through next week. We go outdoors with Steve Carney, stevecarneyoutdoors.com. Steve, how you been?
I've been great, Steve. I'm really tired. I had a long day on the water today, and you know, last night we had a bunch of lightning come through up in the northwestern part of Minnesota, and I'm laying in bed going, this is not good. This is not good. So anyway, to make a long story short, we started out this morning about 7:30 and hit the first lake, and it was not good, and pulled out of there about 10:30 and went on another lake and pulled it out. But it was slow. You know, water temperatures are still low 70s. But fish don't like lightning. They just don't. And, you know, 48 hours will probably snap back. But, yeah, long day. I put in probably 8 hours today. So good thing they pay me the big bucks.
Yeah, no doubt. Long day on the water. But, Steve, we're not going to see that change in water temps or that drop that's going to usher in the fall bite, because it's going to stay warm through the end of next week. I mean, there's really no change in sight.
Yeah, I'm not happy about that. You know, it's just, you know, every year it seems to get, you know, later into the fall. And we have the duck season starting next weekend, and actually bow season starts today. But I'm too tired to jump in my stand tonight. I just can't do it. And that's what happens when you get older, Steve. You know that.
Right. Yeah, I forgot about that. You get after it. It is tough, particularly when it's warm. There's no doubt about it. And the mosquitoes, the insects can be really tough in that stand.
Yeah, I think it's going to be, I don't know, I'm thinking maybe 2 weeks before things kind of settle down. And, you know, the water temperatures need to get down in the high 50s, low 60s. And then the walleye bite really gets going. But it's going to be a while. And, you know, the deer at this time of the year, when it's warm like this, they just don't move until after dark, you know, for a good reason. I mean, they don't need to. And I'm seeing a lot of deer activity. You know, the sign looks really good. But at this time of year, when it's hot, they're just like humans. They just don't want to move in it if they don't have to, which means, you know, they'll move very early in the morning and very late in the evening. But, you know, another weird phenomenon is we have no acorns, which is really bizarre. Last year, we had more acorns than I've ever seen before. And this year, there's zero everywhere I've been. So this might change their patterns a little bit. You know, they might be hitting the cornfields a little bit more, hitting alfalfa and doing things they weren't doing last year because their food sources have changed so much. So, you know, we'll know probably in a week kind of what's going on, but, you know, we'll see. We'll figure it out eventually.
Yeah, I've got to get to the bottom of that. Why no acorns? Because I have a lot of native bur oaks on my property along the river, and it's almost like clockwork. You get to the middle of August, and a bumper crop of acorns falls out of these trees. But this year, it seems as though the small, the immature acorns dropped really early this season for some reason. And I hardly have, I had some, but not nearly the volume I have in the past. And that's from mature bur oaks right along the river. I mean, these are native trees, settled in, well-established, and for whatever reason, no acorns. So I agree 100%. It is weird.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting in the early duck season, too, because wood ducks are our major, you know, duck that we take in the bag, and they feed on acorns a lot. And a lot of the river systems that I hunt on, you know, without acorns, they may not be there. So this, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how it goes. But the wild rice situation looks really good. Everywhere I've been, you know, good wild rice, not seeing a lot of ducks. So it's going to be interesting next weekend to see how that goes, because it's they're there, but I don't know. It's, you know, the early teal season could have something to do with it. The early youth season, you know, a lot of ducks might have been kicked out of their areas already 2 weeks ago or even 3 weeks ago. So we'll kind of see how next weekend goes. But you love this time of year, man. This is, there's stuff going every weekend. There's an opener almost every weekend. I mean, it's a great time to be out in the field and skip fishing for a while. I'd skip it for about 2 weeks if I were you. Just let it sit for a while and wait for October.
All right, Steve, I want to bring up that dove hunt before we let you go. Tell us a little bit more. It sounds like it was really good.
Oh, man, it was probably the best hunt, you know, best hunt I've ever had. I mean, I was on three different fields on the North Dakota-Minnesota border, and there were so many doves that they weren't even coming to my decoys because there was so much activity on the fields, and we had a great time. It was very hot. But it was all about wing shooting and snap shooting quick because they're so fast. And it was really a great couple of days. And I'd really like to go back. And I'd like to get back before that cold system comes in because that'll, you know, push them south for sure. But it was really an epic hunt and just so fun. And not a lot of doves up in the North Country, Northwest. You really got to go south, southwest to really get into them. And finding a grain field is also a real challenge. You know, we have so much corn and beans that it's really tough to find wheats or oats. But if you can, they will be on those fields. So, yeah, it was magnificent. It was just great.
Yeah, that is cool to hear, Steve. All right, we got to run. In the coming week, are you going to sneak into that stand and see what you can see?
Absolutely. I'm going to be out probably every night this week. I see there's a lot of rain coming in, which, you know, can be good in a bow stand. You know, deer will move in the rain if it isn't real heavy. So looking forward to that. I think this week, hopefully I can put one down, and but I'm not fishing. I got a bad feeling right now. It's just been so hard, and I'm finding that out from a lot of my guide friends, too. It's just that tough time of the year, but it will get better. It will get better.
All right, Steve, get some rest. We'll talk to you again down the road.
Sounds great, Steve. Take care, man.
Steve Kearney Outdoors. And don't forget, our outdoors coverage continues on Sunday. Rob Dreisline, Outdoor News, has a great show every Sunday between 5 and 6 here on News Talk. 830-WCCO.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported, 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo. The mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
Twins and Reds later. We will ramp up our Twins coverage a little bit later on in the hour, 30 minutes from now. Highlights from the Game 1 loss to Cincinnati, 8-4. Bailey Obergood through 6. Twins ran into big trouble in the 7th. And once again, the Reds go on to the 8-4 victory. And we'll have a complete update on the scoreboard, the standings. Right now, the Twins lead Detroit at the start of play today by 2.5 games in the wild card. So we'll monitor that. Plus, we'll squeeze in college football scores. Some big games today. Alabama was at Wisconsin. The Badgers got blown out. Jonathan Lowell will have those scores. We'll check the MIAC scoreboard. Non-conference action continues there. We'll check the Northern Sun. Conference play well underway in the Northern Sun, so we'll have all of that. High school football, 3 weeks into the season already. Hard to believe we'll hit the halfway point of the regular season next week. Steve Linsmeyer calls high school games and had a dandy last night, the Battle of Lakeville North against South. Steve, thanks for the time today. What a ball game.
Yeah, hey, Steve, good to talk to you. I mean, it was, first off, let me comment on the atmosphere. I mean, had to be 5,000 people in the stands last night in Lakeville. They were standing 4 or 5 deep along the fence line. I mean, it was just an incredible atmosphere, and the game absolutely lived up to the hype. Six second-half lead changes. I mean, the lead was pinballing back and forth. It was pretty much whoever was going to have the ball last felt like they were going to win that game. And the first half saw North jump out 14-0, and he thought, okay, they're kind of in control, and South scored on the final play of the first half. There's a 96-yard punt return. Then they scored on the final play of the second quarter, and it was tied at 14 going into half. And, man, the second half was an incredible, incredible game.
Yeah, and you look at this rivalry, and you imagine the old days when it was just Lakeville. I mean, whatever the sport, the quality of the athletes between these two high schools in Lakeville, it's extraordinary.
Well, absolutely. And when I was in North Dakota, that was when Minot was talking about splitting high schools, and I was talking to the AD, and he said, when you have a situation where you have a huge school and you know, and you split, he really believed it was going to like breed success throughout both buildings, and that's kind of what's happened in Lakeville, right? I mean, you've had a little more competition, and that has just continually built up these two programs to be among the top in 6A.
Yeah, and you look at the night, Lakeville North quarterback Riley Grossman. Here are these numbers: 15-21, 247 yards, 3 touchdowns. That's really good.
Yeah, he was good last night. He's going to UMD in the fall next year, and I thought he was really impressive. And to lead that drive the way he did, they got helped out by a couple of penalties that I don't think the South faithful liked very much. Down the stretch on that final drive, but when they got the chances, he took advantage of it, and the game-ending touchdown, I mean, he had guys breathing down his neck, and found Reese Hunt wide open in the flat to take it in and score the game-winning touchdown. I mean, I was really impressed with him. He's a lefty, throws a good ball, threw a 97-yard touchdown in the first half, just a beautiful pass down the right sideline that hit Aiden Forsgren in stride for 97 yards and a house call. I was really impressed with Riley Grossman last night.
Yeah, fun football game. And by the way, that was part of the Fox 9 game of the week. So that was streaming there. That's pretty cool to be a part of that.
Yeah, so I'm doing next week we're going to be in Shakopee, Eden Prairie, doing that this year, and it's on the Fox 9 YouTube channel every Friday night. And actually before that, we're doing a pregame show on GameTimeMN.com, and we're me and Randy Shaver and Kirsten Krull. We're doing a pregame show from 5:30 to 6:30, kind of like a college game day atmosphere. We're trying to create and doing it right on the field, and it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, and so Randy's not retired. Of course, he retired from Care 11, but he did Prep Sports Extra for years and years and years, and it's cool to see he's still involved.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, that dude has forgotten more about Minnesota high school football over the last night of sleep than I've known in my whole life. He is an incredible encyclopedia of Minnesota high school football.
Yeah, so that's really cool. And, Steve, always good to visit with you. Keep up the great work, and hopefully we can do it again down the road.
Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate it, Steve.
Yeah, Steve Linsmeyer calling a dandy last night in the Battle of Lakeville. North beat South, and it looks like they're going to move to number one in the next AP poll. By the way, I'm a voter in that AP poll from a 9 player all the way up through 6A. Edina got beat by number 5 Minnetonka, 35-28. Edina, the defending state runner-up. Lakeville North likely to move to number one. They beat South. Maple Grove beat Centennial, the defending state champ, 21-14. I'm thinking Maple Grove to number two. Blaine, the number 4, lost to Anoka 27-14. Don't sleep on the Tornadoes. They have a great running game this year. They are now 2-1. Minnetonka knocked off number 1 Edina. Skippers are going to move up. Shakopee beat Wayzata. They'll move up. Eden Prairie, they'll move up. They beat Prior Lake 40-13. Of course, South, they may fall out of the poll. I would think the Tornadoes could move in to the poll. Rosemont got beat. They lost to number 10 Egan. It looks like Egan's going to move up. And so Lakeville South, Rosemont, could fall out of the top 10. We'll see how it plays out when the AP poll is released early next week. In 5A, Elk River, they'll stay number one. They beat St. Francis. Alexandria, number two, beat St. Cloud Tech. Number three, Owatonna, beat New Prague. And number four, Moorhead was the winner. Spuds beat Bemidji in a wild one. Waconia, number five, lost to Mankato West, but number six, Mankato East, got beat as well. Meanwhile, number seven, Robbinsdale Armstrong, beat Cooper Big. They'll move up. Sauk Rapids Rice at number eight, lost to Monticello. Andover beat Cambridge Isani. The Huskies could take a big jump in the 5A poll. Rochester John Marshall, they're going to move up a bit. They beat Northfield. High school football already 3 weeks into the regular season. It is 425. A couple other items. In 3A, Stewartville, they're going to stay number one. They beat Zambrota Mazeppa 51-0. 2A, number one Caledonia lost to Chatfield. Chatfield was number six. I don't know if it's enough to take them to number one, but Chatfield will certainly move up. Caledonia will fall down in that poll, probably not out of the top 10. In 1A, Minnieto rolled over Bold. They were ranked number three, so Bold will fall, maybe not out of the top 10, but Minnieto, a solid number one, the Minnieto Vikings in 1A, and then a nine player tie for number one. Nevis and Mountain Iron Buell both won big. And we'll see if one has the advantage when we get a clear number one and nine player in next week's AP poll. And, of course, Jim Paulson of the Star Tribune is a man that puts that all together for the Associated Press and a lot of voters, including Randy Shaver, a voter in that poll. It is 426. We're going to have a big update on the college football scoreboard. A ton of games in the top 25. I mentioned one of the biggies, Alabama, Wisconsin in Madison today. Roll Tide, no doubt, in Madison today. Jonathan will have those scores. And then I'll take a look at the MIAC, the Northern Sun, the WIAC today. The Northern Sun already in conference play. The WIAC still playing non-conference game. St. John's played one of the marquee games today in D3 football, hosting Wartburg up at Clemens Stadium in Collegeville. And the Johnnies got a big win there, so we'll have that in detail. One other sports tidbit, the NFL gearing up for week two, Vikes 49ers. If you haven't heard, Jordan Addison for the Vikings out. For the 49ers, Christian McCaffrey out of the ball game tomorrow. And the Vikes are underdogs in that home opener. Once again, the defending NFC champ, San Francisco 49ers, Minnesota Vikings tomorrow, high noon at US Bank Stadium. Twins and Reds tonight, game two of the three-game set. We have our lineup card at 5:30, first pitch at 6:10. Much more on that as we move through the day. Here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. Well, they got it going a week ago. I was at a family reunion in South Dakota, wife's side of the family. And what's funny about it, as the day went on, there were more and more people at this family reunion keeping an eye on some of the college football scores. South Dakota State was in action. There just seemed to be a fair amount of football distractions. Meanwhile, big thanks to Chris Tubbs and Jonathan Lowe for getting some scores out there last Saturday. And speaking of scores, let's bring in Jonathan Lowe. Let's start with the top 25 in the Big Ten coming up, the MIAC, the Northern Sun, etc. Without further ado, here's Jonathan Lowe.
Oh, thank you so much, Mr. Stevie T. An honor, a pleasure to be back here with you on a wonderful, beautiful, summer-like day across the upper Midwest. You know, the conditions couldn't be finer for going outside, taking a walk, playing some golf, you know, getting some yard work done, or sitting at a game with another wonderful, beautiful Saturday in the fall, y'all, underway. College football here, there, and everywhere. And we get it rolling in the Big Ten, and we start down the street at Huntington Bank Stadium, where Minnesota has kicked off the second half in a good position. They are up 20-0 on Nevada and just got the ball back on a punt. So about 9:45 left in the third quarter. Gophers looking good early today. The other Big Ten game currently ongoing, a couple of them, one at the half, in West Lafayette. It's that old rivalry, that in-state rivalry, Purdue and number 18 Notre Dame. And it is not a game today. 42-0 right now. The Fighting Irish are pummeling the Boilermakers in their home stadium at Ross-Ade Stadium in West Lafayette. There's another game that's just about to kick off the second half. And this is, be grateful, people. This is one of the best rivalries that is underrated across the country. It is the Civil War, folks. This usually happens at Thanksgiving, and now we are seeing it in September. This is very strange. I'm going to say this so many more weeks. This is so strange to say this. The Civil War, number 9 Oregon and Oregon State in Corvallis, 22-14. The Ducks are leading again. They just kicked off the second half. Just kicked off the second half in East Lansing. Michigan State is shutting out Prairie View A&M 27-0. The other Pac-12 rivalry that's coming over, just north of Corvallis, north of Eugene, the Apple Cup. That's right. The Apple Cup is, this is, what are we doing, folks? The Apple Cup is today. They just kicked off the second half there, and Washington State is leading Washington in Seattle 17-13. At the half, we got a situation in Iowa City. Last week, the Hawkeyes were walked off by in-state rival Iowa State at the gun with a field goal. They are down to Troy this week. The Hawkeyes are losing 14-10 to Troy at the half at Kinnick Stadium. We will keep an eye on this over the next hour or so. Finals from earlier today. Number 17, Michigan, rebounds from their loss last week to Texas. They beat Arkansas State 28-18. Number 4, Alabama, as Steve has said earlier this afternoon, goes into Camp Randall and wallops Wisconsin 42-10, the final there. Illinois builds on their win over Kansas last week by beating Central Michigan 30-9. Coming up later tonight, Northwestern will be at home against Eastern Illinois. It'll be UCLA and Indiana in their Big Ten debut with that burgeoning rivalry. That'll be great on the basketball court, by the way, coming up in a few months. But right now, this will be an interesting matchup at the Rose Bowl. Number 23, Nebraska, will take on Missouri Valley's Northern Iowa. And then later on this evening, it'll be Maryland on the road taking on former conference rival from the ACC, Virginia. To the top 25 scoreboard. Other top 25 games, number 15, Oklahoma is up early in the second half in Norman over Tulane, 21-6. Number 12, Utah, they are trailing their in-state rival Utah State and Logan, 14-3. That's early in the second quarter. There is a delay in Miami at Hard Rock Stadium. Number 10, Miami hosting Ball State in the first quarter there. Other finals from earlier, there were two great games in the Columbias today. I said the Columbias. That's right. Let's first go to Columbia, Missouri, where number 6 Missouri took on number 24 Boston College. The Tigers went down early 10-7, 10-0 actually, and then they came back. They started to roar their way back, so to speak. They end up defeating the Eagles 27-21, get to 3-0 on the season. The other Columbia game, Columbia, South Carolina, where the Gamecocks hosted number 16 LSU. Cocky was ahead early, and it was LSU that came through late, and a missed 49-yard field goal at the gun, at the buzzer, gives the Tigers a 36-31 victory. Both teams 2-1 on the season. Also, Oklahoma State, number 13 in the land, they win over Tulsa 45-10. Coming up in a little bit, it will be number 5 Ole Miss on the road at Wake Forest. Number 2 Texas will be at home taking on Texas San Antonio. Number 1 Georgia travels to Lexington to take on Kentucky. Number 7 Tennessee is going to host Kent State. And last night, in a now conference game, a Big 12 game, number 14 Kansas State took down number 20 Arizona 31-7. Let's head to the FCS level in the Pioneer League today. St. Thomas gets their first win of the season 24-14 as they hosted Black Hill State over at O'Shaughnessy Stadium. And to the Missouri Valley, North Dakota State is on the road this week. They are early in the first quarter on their first drive, driving into the red zone, scoreless against East Tennessee State. South Dakota State later on this evening will be hosting Augustana. So another opportunity for a possible upset from the Northern Sun of the Missouri Valley. We'll see about that. As I told you, Northern Iowa will take on Nebraska. And there's an North Dakota earlier also. They win today over Idaho State, the final there, 52-28. And there's an interesting situation that happened today out in Portland. The Coyotes from South Dakota were supposed to take on the Portland State Vikings, but that game ended up getting canceled. The reason why, and this is the short press release from Portland State. Today's Portland State football game versus South Dakota has been canceled due to illness within the PSU program. A case of pertussis or whooping cough got into the Viking team 2 days ago. Pertussis is a highly contagious disease that affects the lungs. As a result, many team members have been exposed to the disease. The two programs and their team doctors have been in discussions regarding the situation. It was determined by Portland State that the game would not be played in the interest of health to the student athletes. It should be noted that no players on the Viking team are seriously ill at this time. So a very, very interesting case that it actually cancels a game at the FCS level, Steve.
That is a... Well, they got it going a week ago. I was at a family reunion in South Dakota, wife's side of the family. And what's funny about it, as the day went on, there were more and more people at this family reunion keeping an eye on some of the college football scores. South Dakota State was in action. There just seemed to be a fair amount of football distractions. Meanwhile, big thanks to Chris Tubbs and Jonathan Lowe for getting some scores out there last Saturday. And speaking of scores, let's bring in Jonathan Lowe. Let's start with the top 25 in the Big Ten coming up, the MIAC, the Northern Sun, etc. Without further ado, here's Jonathan Lowe.
Oh, thank you so much, Mr. Stevie T. An honor, a pleasure to be back here with you on a wonderful, beautiful summer-like day across the upper Midwest. You know, the conditions couldn't be finer for going outside, taking a walk, playing some golf, you know, getting some yard work done, or sitting at a game with another wonderful, beautiful Saturday in the fall, y'all, underway. College football here, there, and everywhere, and we get it rolling in the Big Ten, and we start down the street at Huntington Bank Stadium, where Minnesota has kicked off the second half in a good position. They are up 20-0 on Nevada and just got the ball back on a punt. So about 9:45 left in the third quarter. Gophers looking good early today. The other Big Ten game currently ongoing, a couple of them, one at the half in West Lafayette. It's that old rivalry, that in-state rivalry, Purdue and number 18 Notre Dame. And it is not a game today. 42-0 right now. The Fighting Irish are pummeling the Boilermakers in their home stadium at Ross-Ade Stadium in West Lafayette. There's another game that's just about to kick off the second half. And this is, be grateful, people. This is one of the best rivalries that is underrated across the country. It is the Civil War, folks. This usually happens at Thanksgiving, and now we are seeing it in September. This is very strange. I'm going to say this so many more weeks. This is so strange to say this. The Civil War, number 9 Oregon and Oregon State in Corvallis, 22-14. The Ducks are leading again. They just kicked off the second half. Just kicked off the second half in East Lansing. Michigan State is shutting out Prairie View A&M 27-0. The other Pac-12 rivalry that's coming over, just north of Corvallis, north of Eugene, the Apple Cup. That's right. The Apple Cup is, this is, what are we doing, folks? The Apple Cup is today. They just kicked off the second half there, and Washington State is leading Washington in Seattle 17-13. At the half, we got a situation in Iowa City. Last week, the Hawkeyes were walked off by in-state rival Iowa State at the gun with a field goal. They are down to Troy this week. The Hawkeyes are losing 14-10 to Troy at the half at Kinnick Stadium. We will keep an eye on this over the next hour or so. Finals from earlier today. Number 17, Michigan, rebounds for their loss last week to Texas. They beat Arkansas State 28-18. Number 4, Alabama, as Steve has said earlier this afternoon, goes into Camp Randall and wallops Wisconsin 42-10, the final there. Illinois builds on their win over Kansas last week by beating Central Michigan 30-9. Coming up later tonight, Northwestern will be at home against Eastern Illinois. It'll be UCLA and Indiana in their Big Ten debut with that burgeoning rivalry. That'll be great on the basketball court, by the way, coming up in a few months. But right now, this will be an interesting matchup at the Rose Bowl. Number 23, Nebraska, will take on Missouri Valley's Northern Iowa. And then later on this evening, it'll be Maryland on the road taking on former conference rival from the ACC, Virginia. To the top 25 scoreboard, Other top 25 games, number 15, Oklahoma is up early in the second half in Norman over Tulane, 21-6. Number 12, Utah, they are trailing their in-state rival Utah State and Logan, 14-3. That's early in the second quarter. There is a delay in Miami at Hard Rock Stadium. Number 10, Miami, hosting Ball State in the first quarter there. Other files from earlier, there were two great games in the Columbias today. I said the Columbias. That's right. Let's first go to Columbia, Missouri, where number 6 Missouri took on number 24 Boston College. The Tigers went down early 10 to nothing actually, and then they came back. They started to roar their way back, so to speak. They end up defeating the Eagles 27-21, get to 3-0 on the season. The other Columbia game, Columbia, South Carolina, where the Gamecocks hosted number 16 LSU. Cocky was ahead early, and it was LSU that came through late, and a missed 49-yard field goal at the gun, at the buzzer, gives the Tigers a 36-31 victory. Both teams 2-1 on the season. Also, Oklahoma State, number 13 in the land, they win over Tulsa 45-10. Coming up in a little bit, it will be number 5, Ole Miss on the road at Wake Forest. Number 2, Texas will be at home taking on Texas San Antonio. Number 1, Georgia travels to Lexington to take on Kentucky. Number 7, Tennessee is going to host Kent State. And last night, in a now conference game, a Big 12 game, number 14, Kansas State took down number 20, Arizona, 31-7. Let's head to the FCS level in the Pioneer League today. St. Thomas gets their first win of the season, 24-14, as they hosted Black Hill State over at O'Shaughnessy Stadium. Into the Missouri Valley, North Dakota State is on the road this week. They are early in the first quarter on their first drive, driving into the red zone, scoreless against East Tennessee State. South Dakota State later on this evening will be hosting Augustana. So another opportunity for a possible upset from the northern son of the Missouri Valley. We'll see about that. As I told you, Northern Iowa will take on Nebraska. And there's an North Dakota earlier also. They win today over Idaho State, the final there, 52-28. And there's an interesting situation that happened today out in Portland. The Coyotes from South Dakota were supposed to take on the Portland State Vikings, but that game ended up getting canceled. The reason why, and this is the short press release from Portland State, today's Portland State football game versus South Dakota has been canceled due to illness within the PSU program. A case of pertussis, or whooping cough, got into the Viking team 2 days ago. Pertussis is a highly contagious disease that affects the lungs. As a result, many team members have been exposed to the disease. The two programs and their team doctors have been in discussions regarding the situation. It was determined by Portland State that the game would not be played in the interest of health to the student athletes. It should be noted that no players on the Viking team are seriously ill at this time. So a very, very interesting case that it actually cancels a game at the FCS level, Steve.
That is unusual. One for the books, for sure. And it kind of brings back memories of the COVID era, if you will. All right, let's jump into that regional scoreboard. Let's start in the MIAC. Non-conference action again in the MIAC. Big one today, Wartburg out of Iowa at St. John's. Johnny's roll 35-13 today. St. John's 2-0, one of the favorites again in the MIAC this year. And St. John's, once again, fell behind 7-0 before going on to a 14-7 lead at the half and pull away for the 35-13 victory. What a great setting it is. If you've never seen a football game at Clemens Stadium in Collegeville, make a point to get there. St. Olaf wins at home in Northfield today, beating Luther 53-7. Meanwhile, Rockford wins at St. Scholes in Duluth 31-24. A lovely day in the Twin Ports. Coming up later on, Concordia on the road at Pacific Lutheran in Tacoma. So the Cobbers, a long road trip. McAllister at home tonight in St. Paul against Martin Luther. It will be Northwestern of Roseville hosting neighbor Bethel from Arden Hills. That's a short trip. They might have been able to ride their bikes over to Northwestern today. Game time, 6 o'clock at Reynolds Field. And then Minnesota Morris, they'll be at Hamlin and St. Paul. And that is a 6 o'clock start as well. Let's jump over to the games in the books now in the Northern Sun. At least two games early. Minot State beat Northern State 17-14 in Minot. Meanwhile, Sioux Falls beat Mary 35-33. So the Cougars off to a good start this year. In progress, Bemidji State next to the lake, leading Southwest Minnesota State 33-0. And it looks as though that game has just gone final. The Beavers get a big win. In Duluth, UMD leading MSU Moorhead 22-14. That's early in the fourth quarter, so the Dragons, much improved, hanging on against a perennial power in the UMD Bulldogs. Other games today in the Northern Sun feature Augustana making a jump from D2 up to D1. They're playing tonight in Brookings against South Dakota State. And, of course, Jonathan mentioned that earlier, but big step up. Augustana has been very good in recent memory. And once again, our thoughts go out to Jeff Filling, longtime play-by-play voice of the Augustana Vikings football, men's basketball, women's basketball. He has stepped away to deal with some health issues. Best wishes to Jeff Filling, the longtime voice of the Augustana Vikings. Minnesota State at Wayne State tonight at 6 o'clock, and Winona State will visit Concordia St. Paul. They'll be at Seafoam Stadium, and if you're wondering, that is a 6:30 start. Over in the WIAC, late in the fourth, Stout leading at Dickinson State 22-14. That's a haul from Menominee up to Dickinson. Other finals in the WIAC today. It was Stevens Point winning at St. Norbert 24-3. Whitewater beat Roosevelt of Illinois 24-14. It was Cole winning at Eau Claire 43-41. Wild one there. And it was La Crosse, one of the favorites in the WIAC this year, beating Northern Michigan in La Crosse 35-21. La Crosse, Wisconsin, one of my favorite towns anywhere in the upper Midwest. It is a gem. 4:46. I think you're up to date on the scores for now. When we come back, we'll talk Twins and Reds, look at game one of the three games set on Friday night at Target Field, and then, of course, count you down to the Twins and Reds game two of the three game set. We'll squeeze in some more college football scores as well here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Hey, I didn't neglect the UMAC football conference, just non-conference action. We mentioned this during the MIAC scoreboard. Martin Luther at McAllister, Northwestern hosting Bethel, Morris at Hamlin. So there's a lot of UMAC MIAC action there. And then tonight, Crown at Simpson College down in Indianola, Iowa, and Greenville at Eureka. One game in the books, Westminster and Sewanee. And Sewanee won it 42-0 down in Tennessee. That was an early game today, so you're up to date on the UMAC. Didn't forget it, but that's how all the teams in the UMAC, how they fared or who they play later today. Twins and Reds, game two of the three-game set. And things getting really interesting for the Twins. They are still in the playoffs, but they need to start winning some ball games more consistently. They dropped the opener to the Angels, won the final two games of the series, and got them back on track. But they dropped the opener to the Reds last night, 8-4. Let's see if we can check the scoreboard now in MLB and let you know where the Twins stand. Because really right now, it's not so much catching the Royals or the Guardians atop the American League Central Division. It's keeping the Tigers in the rearview mirror and keeping the Red Sox and the Mariners in the rearview mirror. And getting set to get started very shortly, Baltimore in Detroit. So that's one we'll keep an eye on. Of course, Twins and Reds at 6:10 our time. Other games to keep an eye on, Tampa Bay in Cleveland. That game will get started just after the top of the hour. Cleveland still leading the division. Worth keeping an eye on, Royals Pirates. It's in the books. Kansas City wins again. They win at PNC 5-1. Meanwhile, the Red Sox gain ground. They beat the Yankees in New York today 7-1. So that brings us to the standings at the moment. And let's just focus on the wild card, because that's what Twins fans need to be most concerned about, just getting into the postseason. And in that wild card race in the American League, here's how things are with those results already in the book. Kansas City, once again, gains a little ground on Cleveland. So it's Baltimore, the lead wild card. Kansas City, a game and a half back. The Twins now trail the Royals by 3. At the moment, Detroit, 2.5 back. Seattle, 3.5 back. And Boston, 4 games back in the wild card. Tampa Bay, not mathematically eliminated, but they have a lot of teams to climb over, and the Rays are 5.5 back. So that's where it stands at the moment in the major leagues. Division standings real quick in the American League, worth pointing out. New York leading Baltimore at the moment by 2.5. Cleveland leading Kansas City, who's rolling again. The Royals, 2.5 back there. Twins, 5.5 back in the division. And then out west, Houston keeping Seattle at arm's length. The Mariners are 4.5 back. All right, to some of the highlights from the game last night. And the Twins fell behind 1-0. Bailey Ober on the mound, no big deal. Byron Buxton back in the lineup, and Byron quickly tied the ball game.
There's a fly ball hit well into left field. Byron Buxton going to look up and out of here. Off-speed pitch. Byron Buxton ties it up 1-1.
So, tight ball game. Bailey Ober settled down. We go to the seventh inning, and things got ugly. The Reds score 6 runs, and the big blow, this grand slam.
At 23 bombs, 65 runs batted in.
Way to go, Chris.
There's a grand slam for Eli De La Cruz, and the Reds have broken this one wide open. First pitch. And a talent like Eli De La Cruz, you can hold him down, you can hold him down, but all it takes is one swing of the bat for a massive impact. That's a grand slam, and now a 7-1 Cincinnati lead.
Now the Twins were able to battle back. Brooks Lee gave him a couple runs in the bottom of the seventh.
1-2 line towards right field. It'll drop for a base hit. Buxton will score. Here comes Willie Castro. He slides across. And just like that, it's 7-4.
Very nice.
But ultimately, the Reds would tack on another run and win it 8-4. Bailey Ober, good through 6. And then he talked postgame about the 7th.
Yeah, all 3 of those at-bats, I put the ball where I wanted to, so they executed it. The only thing in the 7th inning that I want back is the wall. I threw the ball where I needed to, and they just put good swings on it. And sometimes baseball, you know, finds its way to beat you, and that's what happened that inning.
All right, so Bailey Ober ready to turn the page on what went down. The manager, Rocco Baldelli, talked postgame as well about the ball game, but the Twins need to move on and get ready for game 2. Simeon Woods Richardson on the mound tonight at Target Field. We'll have much more on that. We'll go into the writer's corner with Bobby Nightingale from the Star Tribune following the news and weather at 5. Between that news and weather and Bobby, we'll sneak in some more college football scores. Then Bobby, then we'll count you down to the Twins and Reds in the pregame lineup card at 5:30. Hey, I didn't neglect the UMAC football conference, just non-conference action. We mentioned this during the MIAC scoreboard. Martin Luther at McAllister, Northwestern hosting Bethel, Morris at Hamlin. So there's a lot of UMAC MIAC action there. And then tonight, Crown at Simpson College down in Indianola, Iowa, and Greenville at Eureka. One game in the books, Westminster and Sewanee. And Sewanee won it 42-0 down in Tennessee. That was an early game today, so you're up to date on the UMAC. Didn't forget it, but that's how all the teams in the UMAC, how they fared or who they play later today. Twins and Reds, game 2 of the 3-game set. And things getting really interesting for the Twins. They are still in the playoffs, but they need to start winning some ball games more consistently. They dropped the opener to the Angels, won the final two games of the series, and got them back on track. But they dropped the opener to the Reds last night, 8-4. Let's see if we can check the scoreboard now in MLB and let you know where the Twins stand, because really right now it's not so much catching the Royals or the Guardians atop the American League Central Division. It's keeping the Tigers in the rearview mirror and keeping the Red Sox and the Mariners in the rearview mirror. And getting set to get started very shortly, Baltimore in Detroit. So that's one we'll keep an eye on. Of course, Twins and Reds at 6:10 our time. Other games to keep an eye on, Tampa Bay in Cleveland. That game will get started just after the top of the hour. Cleveland still leading the division. Worth keeping an eye on, Royals-Pirates. It's in the books. Kansas City wins again. They win at PNC 5-1. Meanwhile, the Red Sox gain ground. They beat the Yankees in New York today 7-1. So that brings us to the standings at the moment. And let's just focus on the wild card, because that's what Twins fans need to be most concerned about, just getting into the postseason. And in that wild card race in the American League, here's how things are with those results already in the book. Kansas City once again gains a little ground on Cleveland. So it's Baltimore, the lead wild card. Kansas City a game and a half back. The Twins now trail the Royals by 3. At the moment, Detroit 2.5 back. Seattle 3.5 back. And Boston 4 games back in the wild card. Tampa Bay not mathematically eliminated, but they have a lot of teams to climb over. And the Rays are 5.5 back. So that's where it stands at the moment in the major leagues. Division standings real quick in the American League, worth pointing out. New York leading Baltimore at the moment by 2.5. Cleveland leading Kansas City, who's rolling again. The Royals 2.5 back there. Twins 5.5 back in the division. And then out west, Houston keeping Seattle at arm's length. The Mariners are 4.5 back. All right, to some of the highlights from the game last night. And the Twins fell behind 1-0. Bailey Ober on the mound, no big deal. Byron Buxton back in the lineup, and Byron quickly tied the ball game.
There's a fly ball hit well into left field. Byron Buxton going to look up and out of here. Off speed pitch. Byron Buxton ties it up 1-1.
So, tight ball game. Bailey Ober settled down. We go to the seventh inning, and things got ugly. The Reds score 6 runs, and the big blow, this grand slam.
At 23 bombs, 65 runs batted in.
Way to go, Chris.
There's a grand slam for Eli De La Cruz, and the Reds have broken this one wide open. First pitch. And a talent like Eli De La Cruz, you can hold him down, you can hold him down, but all it takes is one swing of the bat for a massive impact. That's a grand slam, and now a 7-1 Cincinnati lead.
Now the Twins were able to battle back. Brooks Lee gave him a couple runs in the bottom of the seventh.
1-2 line towards right field. It'll drop for a base hit. Buxton will score. Here comes Willie Castro. He slides across. And just like that, it's 7-4.
Very nice.
But ultimately, the Reds would tack on another run and win it 8-4. Bailey Ober, good through 6. And then he talked post-game about the 7th.
Yeah, all 3 of those at-bats, I put the ball where I wanted to, so they executed it. The only thing in the 7th inning that I want back is the wall. I threw the ball where I needed to, and they just put good swings on it. And sometimes baseball, you know, finds its way to beat you, and that's what happened that inning.
All right, so Bailey Ober ready to turn the page on what went down. The manager, Rocco Baldelli, talk post game as well about the ball game, but the Twins need to move on and get ready for game 2. Simeon Woods Richardson on the mound tonight at Target Field, and we'll have much more on that. We'll go into the writer's corner with Bobby Nightingale from the Star Tribune following the news and weather at 5. Between that news and weather and Bobby, we'll sneak in some more college football scores. Then Bobby, then we'll count you down to the Twins and Reds and the pregame lineup card at 5:30. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.